Isaiah chapter 9, starting at verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdened them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase in his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The seal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Our second reading is from John chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thanks, Barbara. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you teach us through it. That you remind us that you are all about light. Speak to us, we pray, by your Holy Spirit this night. Amen. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never overcome it. Just to hold those two verses in your mind. It's interesting, isn't it, that of course the 25th of December is ingrained in us and in our society, but of course we have absolutely no idea really what date Jesus was born on. We just like to repurpose things in the church, in this case a pagan festival. What do? You usurp it with a Christian festival, so everyone forgets about the pagan one and concentrates on the Christian one. It's a brilliant plan. But actually, we can have a guess. There's lots of theories people have worked through and tried to work out with various timings of things that actually Jesus might have been born in what we regard now as either September or October. But really, I don't think it matters, does it? We have a date, we have a celebration date, the 25th of December, in this country at least. Go to an Orthodox country. It was really bizarre when I went to Ethiopia a couple of years ago. It was in January, and they'd literally just celebrated Christmas at that point. It was really bizarre kind of having put away the Christmas tree here, then flown over to Ethiopia where everything was still bedecked in Christmas trees in various places anyway, certainly in the hotel. Accuracy really matters less than the fact that it happened. But part of me thinks that we're really blessed in this part of the world, because we celebrate Christmas at what is the darkest time of our year. Only 3 days ago, we see the passing of the shortest day of the year in terms of the hours of sunlight we have. A friend who, one of the ministers that I went to the States with earlier this year, who's stationed up in Shetland, and he posted on Facebook that on the 21st, they had less than 6 hours between sunrise and sunset. And it was quite stunning to kind of like go, oh my goodness, it's really crazy, isn't it? The shortest day of the year and that little amount of sunlight. We are as near as damn it to the being at the darkest period of our year. So why is this a blessing? We have to venture out to church more in the dark. But how much more do we appreciate light in dark? It's more dangerous in the dark. It's colder in the dark. But how much more, therefore, do we appreciate the light when it is dark? Because let's face it, it would be lovely having twinkly lights and everything else, fairy lights and lights outside and stuff. But if we were in the middle of summer, we'd not really appreciate them quite so much, would we, ultimately? You wouldn't be kind of driving around at 4 o'clock in the afternoon going, look at everybody's Christmas lights, isn't it lovely? Because it'd still be really light. How much more welcoming are the lights from inside a warm house when we are outside in the dark? These are small recognitions, but they help us to better understand, I think, certainly for us in this part of the world, Isaiah's prophecy. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Because we are not people who walk in the middle of summer and see a great light. We are people who walk in winter and see a great light. Of course, Isaiah is talking less of a physical darkness and more of a spiritual darkness. A darkness caused by sin and separation from God. This is the darkness we experience when we walk our own path, when we ignore the footsteps that we should follow, when we turn our back on God and on our devotion to Him. But God, instead of letting us stumble around in our own darkness, even as far back as Isaiah, nearly 800 years before Jesus even appears on the scene, God promises through those writings of this prophet that a light will shine on all and for all people. And that light is coming. And it will be seen in a child. So John's opening to his gospel is a beautiful realization of this, that this prophecy from 800 years ago has come to be. John writes, what was coming into being was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. This is the indestructible light. This is the light that can never be put out. This is the light which means that the darkness will and can never, ever again be complete. This is an attractive light. A light which we want to follow, a light that we will gladly take our lead from, a light that we use to illuminate the truth and the lies in our decision making. There's no small coincidence that John also uses the word, to describe Jesus here, word with a capital W. Because then we have the overtones of that verse from Psalm 119 that rings clear. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You see what John's doing, pulling on all of these things. Now, of course, in Psalm 119, it refers to the word of Scripture. But actually, when Jesus comes, he becomes the Word. The Word of God incarnate, the living Word. He himself becomes that lamp to our feet and the light to our path. There are no two ways about it. This Jesus is the light that we are called to follow, and that light has come into the world. And even before John begins his retelling of Jesus' life and teaching, he spoils the ending. John goes straight to the back page and says, oh, by the way, this is how it finishes. Because he retells us that this light will never be defeated nor extinguished. And so we must rejoice in the fact that this tiny child whose birth we remember and celebrate now is that light that has never been overcome, nor will it ever be so. For this light is the very word of God. The word that spoke creation into existence has come to be the light in our darkness. And so it's no wonder that throughout the ages, artists have always depicted Jesus with that heavenly glow about him. He is the heavenly glow. The light that warms our hearts on cold winter nights. The light that guides our way home. Not just to our earthly home, but to our eternal home with our Father in heaven. And so my prayer for each one of us tonight is that we would know and welcome and follow that light that we see in the Christ child this Christmas, that light may come into your lives, into your families, into your friendships and your relationships, because we acknowledge Jesus come to us. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for this, for being in this part of the world, and the fact that we get to celebrate Christmas when we, whether society has done it from the right reasons or the wrong reasons, Lord, we've created a Christmas celebration that is all focused around light and beautiful light. God, we thank you for that as a reminder to us that actually this season is about light. Your light leading and guiding us. And so, God, lead and guide us, we pray. We thank you. Thank you that you have come to us. And we invite you to share in our lives this Christmas. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.